Welcome to Nightly Encounters. Roll it. Welcome back to Nightly Encounters. I know it's been forever since I've started this. I've been digitizing these tapes for years now. I have something very cool and special for y'all. This is pretty much a family friend's, or a friend's family, who he gave me these tapes and their in-house experiments back in the 1960s and the 1970s, and we're going to definitely try to piece these together. There are like hundreds of these tapes, and I definitely want to share them with y'all. They've never been released to the public. I mean, I've done a couple of these tapes, kind of made little videos trying to get traction, trying to get something going, but they didn't really go anywhere much. We're going to definitely dive in deep with these. But this is the first episode. I'm gonna call this what, season two, episode one, and we're gonna have fun with this. If you guys are audio enthusiasts or anything like that, please follow. Listen to this podcast anywhere you want. Because I definitely enjoy doing this. I'm definitely an audio enthusiast. So if you're an audio enthusiast, come hang out, listen to these tapes. I don't know everything about these tapes, so if you guys want to help me piece together these, this family's story, what they're trying to communicate and what they're trying to do. So these are ESP experiments. So if you don't know what ESP is, it means extrasensory perception. And pretty much they do a lot of meditation, a lot of falling asleep and metronomes and all this other stuff to talk to entities. That's what I'm getting out of this. This first episode, I really just want to kind of show you guys what ESP and this meditation thing back in the 60s and 70s really was. There's this tape that I found that, along with these other tapes, you're going to hear what they were kind of doing back then, I guess. So these were in-house experiments. These experiments happened literally in a tiny home in Poteet, Texas. And the subject is Mary Lee Lawson. This is my best friend's family's tapes. So these have never been released or anything. I really just want to get their story out there and help them out with all this. So if you guys want to listen, check it out. But today's first episode, I'm just kind of... One of these tapes were in the box that I got. And I got hundreds of tapes, by the way. One of these tapes is literally just... I think it's like a lecture or something. And it's about ESP in the meditation world. So you guys could get an idea of what you're about to listen to in these future episodes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just talk a little bit about each episode. Just like... very few, and then I'm gonna show you guys the whole episode or the whole tape without interruption, because what I want you guys to do for me, or if you guys enjoy these, I want you guys to help me piece these together. Okay, so they're all gonna be out of order. I'm gonna try to these tapes have really bad quality at times. So I'm going to really need you guys to help me out to understand these. Like I said, there's so many of these tapes, and I just really want to, keep this family's legacy alive and see what they were really experimenting with, Anyways, so without further ado, I'm going to play this tape. And this is just an intro podcast episode for season two, episode one, I guess, enjoy.
Side one of this tape is a general introduction to psychic phenomena. There is a brief explanation of a number of terms. Following the terms is a very condensed hypothesis upon which the method of achieving the various phenomena is based. Due to the time limitation, the hypothesis is so general that more questions may arise than are answered. A cassette entitled Psychic Searcher Philosophy is a 60-minute expansion of this subject. The final part of the first side is instructions concerning the use of the second side. Side two is not a lecture, but more of a tool. Used properly and daily until your mind is trained, it will enable you to reach the state of consciousness needed to achieve your objective. Long before that objective is achieved, however, you will begin to notice surprising side effects. These are generated just by reaching and briefly holding that state of consciousness needed to produce psychic phenomena. You'll find yourself making decisions better and with less worry. Frustrations will become less frustrating. Confidence will increase, as will accomplishments. Both the drama of life and the spirit will become more peaceful, meaningful, and productive in an unimaginable variety of ways. There are many types of psychic phenomena, and the following are just a few. Clairvoyance and telepathy are probably the basic ingredients of all phenomena. Clairvoyance is the ability to sense events of the past or of the future through no normal means, through none of the five senses that one normally uses. Telepathy, of course, is the ability to sense thoughts from another person. Usually, telepathy means for one person to think something for another one to immediately receive it. The word really has a much larger ramification than that, but this is the commonly accepted idea of telepathy. Clairaudience and clairsentiousness are very closely related to clairvoyance. Clairvoyance literally means to see clearly. Clairaudience, on the other hand, is to hear clearly. Clairsentiousness is to sense clearly in any other manner than hearing or seeing. And during meditation, one feels, sees, smells, hears, and simply knows a great many facts through some sense other than the normally used five. Since clairvoyance and telepathy are so closely related, there's really no way one can tell whether one is experiencing telepathy or clairvoyance in many, many cases, nor is it really of any concern. The net result is the same. Telekinesis is the ability to move an object at a distance without touching it, or necessarily even being anywhere near it. To think an object, to make a motion. A good instance of this is willing dice to come up 7 or any other number. Astral travel is a phenomenon which is very, very common spontaneously. However, so few people recognize that they have taken an astral trip, even when they have taken one, that they do not know it by this name, don't necessarily recognize it as having happened, even if they are familiar with the term. It's the projection of the spirit body, or the subconscious mind, out of the body into another location, but more literally than one would normally think. It's not a daydream, nor is it a night dream, or even a nightmare. It is beyond dreaming. It is more real than dreaming. It is reality itself. You literally project a body which can be heard, felt, seen, and touched at a different location. And in many cases, It is not necessarily projected so strongly that this happens. It may be projected only to the point where it can sense things in this other location and allow the conscious mind at its source, or in other words, at your body, to receive these sense impressions. So that it is much as though you were there, but nobody else is aware you are there. These are two different ways of astral travel, two different definitions, or two different stages, perhaps, would be a good word. Transfiguration is normally done by a medium who sits in the center of a group of people or in front of a group of people. Normally, a red light is the only source of illumination. And as the medium sits in front of these people, he will turn his head very slowly from right to left and left to right, so that thought patterns or spirits can form over his head, over his shoulders, using the ectoplasm in his body, his own body energy, to mold their own likenesses over his face. And these likenesses can be clearly seen by any group of people, whether or not they consider themselves psychic. Usually, in a seance of this nature, there will be oriental faces, and bearded faces and mustache faces appear first. A series of these will usually occur. Then there may or may not occur the superimposition of spirit relatives of the people who are watching. If this occurs, and if the medium is exceptionally talented or capable in this respect, it may develop into materialization. If materialization occurs, the people who have been seen forming over the medium will actually leave the medium and progress across the room. They may walk, they may appear to float, or they may simply just appear in a different part of the room. In some cases, they may even speak to the people assembled or to a specific person assembled. Sometimes when this happens, the person related to them is the only one who sees them. Sometimes when it happens, everybody in the room sees them and hears them. The Ouija board is familiar to most of you. This is a method of receiving messages from the universal mind. A Ouija board is a slick surfaced board with the alphabet and numbers on it. A planchet, or another little piece of board, which is usually heart-shaped and having three legs that are felt-tipped to enable it to slide easily, is placed on the surface of the larger board. The fingertips are placed very lightly on the planchet, and no attempt to move it is made. One simply clears one's mind and waits with a question, either in mind or spoken verbally. The pointer then, if the Ouija board is working well, will begin to move from letter to letter and spell out messages. If an intelligent entity has been contacted and is utilizing the operator for the Ouija board, very intelligent messages of serious content have been received. However, in most cases, one receives garbled words, one receives nonsense. You may receive sentences that make good sense but are not true. This is usually explained as poltergeist activity. A poltergeist is defined ordinarily as a worrisome little ghost, a little guy that likes to play tricks. This is not truly what happens, but there's just simply not enough time here to explain this in detail. Basically, this is correct. Table tipping is another method of receiving messages in a very similar manner to the Ouija board. This is most successful if four or more people will sit around three sides of a table. They request aloud for the table to rise and speak directly to it. They ask the table, please rise table, until the legs of the table on the side at which nobody is seated rise slowly off the floor. When this has happened, it will usually hover there at a specific distance, 6 or 8 inches above the floor for a while. When it has hovered for a few moments, it has reached up as far as it's going to. Then, one simply tells it what code one is using, like one tap for no, two taps for yes, and ask questions. The table then will bob up and down, once for no, an answer to any questions asked it, or twice for yes. Psychic photography is a very interesting psychic phenomena. One of the probably most common methods of practicing this is to obtain some photographic paper. The paper is held at one of the psychic points on the body, normally at the forehead or possibly at the solar plexus. Meditation in a dark room follows, then the paper is developed, and often pictures of deceased relatives will appear. More often, one will find geometric designs, bars of light and dark will appear on the photographic paper. Psychic healing is another very common psychic phenomenon. In psychic healing, either from a distance or by laying on of hands, a person may receive instant healing for any disease, or it may require some time for the completion of the healing to take place. It may just start when the psychic healing begins. For many healers, there is instantaneous response. Precognition is the ability to know in advance that something is going to occur. Psychometry is one of the most easily acquired abilities psychically. This is the handling of an object that has belonged to somebody and has absorbed the vibrations of that person. When a psychic handles the object, he reabsorbs the vibrations into his own nervous system and interprets them as his psychic abilities allow him to review the past events and the future events in the person's life who owns that object. Cassette aids for achieving these phenomena are available from Jerry McCarty, 1915 West MacArthur, Lot 108, Wichita, Kansas. They are $5 each. Each of us has a corporeal body and two spirit bodies. None of these has a mind. The mind is energy, just as is heat, electricity, or light. The corporeal body has an electric and an electronic system within it called the nervous system. This is the brain, the spinal cord, and the nerves that extend from each. They act as an antenna for the mind. This antenna senses many of the forms of energy in our environment and changes them into other forms useful to it. It, for instance, senses light through the use of optical nerves and turns light energy into thought energy. This thought energy is released back into the environment and becomes part of the universal mind. With another part of our nervous system, that free thought can be sensed and duplicated. We call the sensing of light, sight, and the sensing of thoughts, telepathy. The two spirit bodies also have sensory systems. They sense different energy frequencies than our corporeal body does, and they emit different frequencies. They work in conjunction and usually in harmony with each other and with the corporeal body. For clarity, one spirit body will be called the low spirit and the other the high spirit. The low spirit corresponds closely to the subconscious mind in psychology. The high spirit corresponds to the conscious mind. I am not saying they are the same thing, but they are closely related. Since differences are not important insofar as the purpose of this tape is concerned, they will not be amplified here. These spirits are not two individuals, one with a long nose and one with a short nose. They're not ghostly creatures that stand beside you or above you in any normal sense of the word. They are forms of thought energy, or thought patterns. Their shadowy bodies, however, are visible. They are called the aura by those who can see them and are exact duplicates of our bodies. Thoughts are real, almost tangible things connected in patterns, just like molecules. You have probably seen the models of an atom of some substance. They look like a network of Tinker Toy sticks and balls put together like a three-dimensional spider web. These could also well represent a thought pattern. The thought of a car is an engine thought, connected to a windshield thought, connected to four-wheel thoughts, and so on. This pattern and the millions of other patterns that compose your individual environment or yourself are what I am calling a spirit. The low spirit or thought body is primarily concerned with your body functions, with keeping you alive, healthy. It's the technician that keeps the vehicle running. It stores memories. Its actions are in the nature of reflexes because it cannot logic. It is very mechanical. It is alert even when we are asleep and is in fact much stronger when we are asleep. This is about the only time we are even aware of its activities. This awareness we call dreaming. Our dreams are the thoughts received by the subconscious. With the conscious turned off, the thoughts are uninhibited, unrepressed. Your own experience with dreams will show you how unreasoning this spirit is. How it accepts anything, however illogical, with no dismay. The high spirit is primarily concerned with logic and creativity. It is one's awareness. Its actions are based on reason. While the prime interest of the low spirit in you is to keep the vehicle operating, the prime interest of the high spirit is to be exposed to new experience. It has an insatiable craving for experience. From experience, it manufactures thoughts. These thoughts become part of its own pattern and consequently part of you. More important though, in terms of the total environment, they become part of the universal mind. They reinforce patterns already there. New thoughts from new experience feed the mind. It grows and changes as it absorbs more and more new thoughts. Since we and our environment are absorbing it, we in turn can be influenced by every thought, new or old, that enters it. The high spirit, however, absorbs no thought from the universal mind, only the low spirit. For the conscious to draw from the universal mind, it must allow the thoughts to enter from the subconscious. The low spirit receives millions of thoughts daily, but percentage-wise, very few reach the high spirit. The two spirits are connected by a separating device located in the brainstem called the reticular activating system, or the RAS. This system sends some thoughts to the high spirit and others to the low. Heredity and chance determine at first which thoughts go where. As the human grows older, he programs the RAS by repeatedly rejecting some thought patterns and by repeatedly using others. this is what a habit really is, and the habit of rejecting psychic information or utilizing it is the difference between the successful man and the unsuccessful. To quote William James, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. The high spirit accepts thoughts for further action or rejects them, whichever it reasons will be most likely to lead to most new experience. It reaches that decision by reviewing the memory banks, sometimes by looking into the future by the use of clairvoyance, and by comparing the events of both. But its final decision is determined by the sole motivating factors of every one of us: guilt, fear, and love. These create desire. The comparison process creates faith. Faith and desire create accomplishment. Each accomplishment creates experience, and experience is the purpose of our existence. Since guilt, fear, and love are the only factors that motivate us to do anything, each of us becomes an entity whose thoughts, actions, and whose very life is a reflection of guilt, or fear, or love. We make our lives into what we fear, what we love, and what produces guilt. Our immediate and our far futures depend on how much faith we have in that fearful or shameful or pleasing event to occur. It secondly depends on how much desire we have for this event. Once the conscious has decided on a goal, it can attempt to attain it by logic, or it can request the subconscious to attain it mystically. Once the subconscious has accepted a request to attain a goal, it adds this thought pattern to the universal mind, which in turn can change the future to include, in fact, to cause the event to be compatible and to happen. All future events, therefore, are already formed. Yet, the future is also plastic and changing. Destiny is challenged by the thoughts of each new day. Only the high spirit can create thoughts. Only the low spirit sends or receives thought energy. Therefore, all psychic phenomena is accomplished by the low spirit, which includes what is called the subconscious mind. While there are many methods of reprogramming the RAS so you can pay attention to the subconscious or utilize it in various ways, I have found meditation to work most often for the most people. Not concentration, not contemplation, but meditation. With this method, one accomplishes what he desires to accomplish and believes he can accomplish, which is faith. By simply removing the shackles from the subconscious, like listening for a soft noise, you try various stages of effort during meditation until you find that stage of mental focus at which you are finally successful. The back of this tape will lead you into the meditative frame of mind and tune the subconscious for the phenomena you want of it. Unless you are already quite talented psychically, it will probably require considerable practice to still the probing, calculating high spirit that you have relied upon for all your thinking since birth. It is just as difficult as breaking any other strong habit. You must strongly want to succeed and feel quietly confident of success. Quietly confident are key words. Put yourself in this frame of mind before you even listen to the other side. If you feel fear of the phenomenon, or if you would feel guilty to produce it, These will strengthen the phenomena, but so will these emotions distort the effects. There is no way you can be harmed trying any psychic exercise if you try it in a peaceful and confident frame of mind. On side two of this cassette is a recording of the exact procedure used in my classes to develop psychic power. There are 20 to 30 persons in each class sitting quietly in a circle in a darkened room. I sit either in the center or as a part of the circle and tell them step by step how to relax their bodies and how to prepare their minds to blend with universal mind. I allow lapses of time for them to accomplish these instructions. These time periods are included on your tape. Use them to follow the instructions, just as the people in the class do. Do not adjust your machine or increase its speed through the time periods. They are carefully programmed for your maximum benefit. For this exercise to be most effective, you should use it every single day. One miss sets you back several days. It should be used at almost exactly the same time each day. Use it in a quiet room where there is no likelihood of distraction. It is best to remove all your clothing, but if this is not possible or if for any reason is distracting, then at least remove all constricting clothing. Shoes, belts, elastic bands, watch bands, anything tight or even noticeable be removed. The best time for most people is just before going to bed. The impressions the exercise makes on your subconscious are the key to your success. The less time you allow for your conscious mind to modify these impressions between the exercise and sleep, the more rapidly will you train your mind. If you cannot use this daily at the same time, just before you go to sleep, and if there is a time each day when you can use it, then after using it, sit there and relax for a while, maybe even take a nap if possible, before going on about your activities. If it is comfortable, the best position is to sit cross-legged on your bed. Use the headboard to brace your back. If this is not comfortable, sit in some way that is comfortable, on a bed or in a comfortable chair or on the floor. Your backbone, however, should be straight. Turn on side two of the cassette, put your hands in your lap, and follow the instructions. Don't touch the machine again after you have turned it on, until you hear my voice at the end of the tape telling you to turn off your machine.
guys for listening, and I know this was just a ESB meditation tape, but I kind of wanted to just show you what this was all about. I got some more tapes coming on the way, and if you guys enjoyed this, please share, like, follow, listen to Nightly Encounters anywhere you want to go, and we'll see you guys on the next one, and I hope you guys enjoyed. Also, if you have any other stories, go ahead and submit them to nightlyencounterspod@gmail.com, and we'll get your unique paranormal stories or anything alike on the show. Again, thank you guys, and I hope you guys have a great day.